Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with the Score. Oh, this is good. Chelsea 3, Liverpool 1. Big win at Stamford Bridge against the champions. Cole Palmer is back with a brilliant performance and a goal. Fantastic performance. We're going to talk about it today. It's going to be a very, very good show today, I think. Very excited to talk about this. It's nice to beat Liverpool. It's our first time we've beaten Liverpool in the league for a long time. I can't even remember the last time we beat them in the league. And we deserved it. We deserved it, I think, overall. We were the better team for most of the game. Romeo Lavia played brilliantly. Trevor Chalobah had a fantastic game. And Cole Palmer, of course, returned to form today with a brilliant overall performance. Even without the goal, he played really, really well. And yeah, it's really great to beat Liverpool. Also, Enzo Maresca's first win against one of the big six, and what a team to beat! Liverpool had Van Dijk, Salah, and Alisson today starting. It was a pretty strong team, and Maresca's got his first win against a big team. It's going to be really, really good today. I'm really looking forward to it. Rambles, welcome. And just your first thoughts on the game.
Absolutely delighted. So happy with that performance. As you say, first win for Maresca against one of the big six, apart from Tottenham.
Yeah.
And so nice to have Cole Palmer on the score sheet, and he was superb all game. And that goal just capped off a brilliant performance.
I think it's definitely the best he's played, you know, for quite a few months, certainly. Just his overall performance. He had no energy about him. I could tell he was going to score, kind of. He was, the second half especially, he had more energy. He was starting to take on shots again. He was confident. He just looked himself again. And had no doubt he was going to score that penalty right at the end.
And I think this puts an end to the conversation. Oh, Maresca, you know, he doesn't like playing for Maresca. Maresca can't get the best out of him. He doesn't suit his position under Maresca, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. I think it was just a simple case of, as you see with most players, apart from, you know, the Ronaldos and the Messis and one or two others, most players do have that dip in form. And he was just going for a bit of a barren spell where things weren't just quite working out for him. But I think he's got the goal and the performance at the right time, business end of the season. And if he's playing like that, you know, we can win any game. See, he's just that good of a player.
Yeah, exactly. I thought he was going to score, actually, even without the penalty. Definitely. And that's good. That gets the monkey off his back as well. So, you know, we can go into the next week's game, which is going to be difficult as well. Newcastle going to be a very tough game. But we can go into that with some confidence now. And he can go into that with some confidence. And to be fair today, I think we deserve to win. If you just looking at some of the stats, Chelsea's XG today was 2.91. Liverpool's was 1.17. Chelsea had 17 shots and 7 on target. Liverpool had 11, but only 2 on target. I think we were the better team today. Romeo Lavia in the first half especially was incredible. He makes this Chelsea team tick. You know, he was so good. The football we played in the first half was great. Deserved to be ahead. I thought it was really, really impressive. Really annoying to concede that goal. Such a lazy goal to concede. You know, basically gave him a free header, Van Dijk a free header, but fortunately it didn't matter. But overall, I thought we defended relatively well apart from that. But and Chelsea now fourth in the where are we in the Premier League? We go up to 63 points. So we're now level on points with Newcastle. Only 1 point behind Manchester City and only 4 points behind Arsenal, which is pretty good. We're level on goal difference with Newcastle as well. So it's just goals scored, I think, that we're behind Newcastle on. So, if we can get a point next week against Newcastle, it's looking good for the top five. You know, I mean, a win today changes everything, really, because not many people expected us to get a win today, for sure. So, and we're going to have Louis here later as well. He's going to be talking to us. He was at the game today, so it'd be great to get his perspective as well. So, Yeah, Chelsea now fifth, 18 wins, 9 drawn, 8 defeats, 62 goals scored, 41 conceded, and 21 goal difference. Yeah, and we're unbeaten in our last 6 in the league now, and it's 3 wins in a row. So, you know, we're coming into form in the right time again, which is really, really important. So, yeah, now, Rambles, while we're here, who is your rave today?
I'm going to go for... I could have given it to quite a few players, but I'm going to go for Lavia. He makes such a difference when he plays. I mean, if he'd been fit for even 3/4 of a season, I have no doubt in my mind that 4/5 would all be wrapped up, because he really is such an important player. And you see, but whenever he plays, I've never seen him put in a bad performance. He just makes us tick. He just makes us look so much better and more comfortable.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I said that all season, to be honest. Like, every time I see him play, he's got the physicality as well to hold off players. He's good at winning tackles. He's great on the ball. He seems to have so much time, and his passing is excellent. The first goal today was really started. The move was started by him. A brilliant ball from him down to Palmer, and then onto Neto on the right. Great, great cross from Neto. And Enzo Fernandez, shout out to him. He's got 20 goal involvements this season now, 7 goals and 13 assists. Neto's 8 assists the season. But Lavia was the one that started it all, and he was absolutely huge in that first half. He started to tire in the second half, but first half, he was superb. Yeah. What was it the most impressed you about him?
Pun?
What was it that most impressed you about him?
I think what I really like about him, but I just think he just gives us more, when he's playing, we just have more control of the game. Now, there's been so many games this year where it's kind of like end-to-end, like a basketball-style game. But when Lavia is playing, the game just seems more settled, and we just see him in a lot more control. He just keeps the game ticking over, the ball ticking over. He just does everything so well. As you say, he's got very good physicality. His passing is very good. And I don't think he's even playing 100%. I don't think he can be playing 100%, because he's never had a run of games to build that consistency up. So, I mean, imagine how good he'd be after a run of games.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, he's only 21. He's only 21. He's not even in his prime yet. You know, you think about what he could be like in, you know, 2-3 years time, when he gets into his prime, you know, and he starts to fill out a little bit physically. Like, he's going to be an absolute monster.
And I think also next season, with the midfielders we've got coming in, Andre Santos and Asugo, I think there'll be a lot less pressure on all of our midfielders, so they can all be managed probably better than they are being at the moment. Because if we're being honest, we are short on numbers in midfield, and we probably are having to rush players back certain occasions. Players are being played in games they shouldn't be played. But with Santos and Asugo in the mix, you know, we can just choose, right, these 2/3 will start this game, we'll rest you this game, and it should really benefit us massively.
Yeah, I mean, Santos is good enough to start for us himself. You know, I mean, imagine having those 5 midfielders, Enzo, Caicedo, Isuzu, Santos and Lavia. Like, you can rotate, you know, and the quality doesn't really drop off. I mean, imagine being able to bring on Andre Santos, Romeo Lavia, right?
Funny you mentioned Santos. I saw a thing. I think, have you seen that page? Is it Rising Stars?
Yes.
And it was his player ratings. And I don't know how many games it was. It was well over 10 games. And he's only got one score under 7. I mean, his consistency is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
The performances he's putting in, week out.
Yeah, I mean, he's an incredible footballer. He really is. I can't wait to see him play for Chelsea next season. He's going to be incredible. I think he'll end up getting into the team, because I think he's that good. You know, and the competition we're going to have in that midfield is going to be excellent, you know, because you've got a lot of players who could all be good enough to start. certainly four that could be good enough to start for two or three places, you know.
And I would say it's the same in attack now, because I think, you know, several attackers are, you know, Neto's been outstanding for a good while now, and Madueke's getting better game by game. I think he's really come on in the second half of the season.
Absolutely. I think Neto's now got 6 goals and 8 assists in all competitions this season. You know, he's made a really important contribution this season. I think he'll get better as well. But 8 assists, you know, really, really important. And it was a good assist today as well. Yeah, I really like. And the thing about Pedro Neto that I like is that his work rate, like at the end of the game today, he was working really hard. He was closing down spaces. He was tracking back. You know, he was winning possession back. He was, you know, he's just a worker. And I really like him. And I'm sure that he's going to be a good player for us, an important player for us. And Nonny Madueke as well deserves his flowers, because the last couple of games he's been playing out on the left, and I think he's been really, really good.
He has, and I think, you know, he's now showing, you know, he's now showing his versatility, and we've also seen in games that he's good with his right foot as well. So, you know, it's a lovely headache for the manager to have, because, yeah, you know, even when we do sign a new winger, which looks likely, you know, it's not going to be a foregone conclusion. They're going to walk straight into the team, because on current form, I think Madueke and Neto deserve to be starting, and Vendor Sancho, he's looking good as well.
Yeah. I mean, Sancho's got, is it 3 goals and 10 assists or something this season? No, something like that. He's had a decent season, you know, 13 goal contributions. Neto's had 14 goal contributions. I think Lonnie's had about 16 goal contributions, you know, and that's not including, you know, Palmer and Jackson. So, I mean, we need more. We need more goals in attack. We need, I think, had we had a different striker today, we might have got a couple more goals, if I'm honest. But yeah, like, it's very promising. I mean, we are improving. I think we are improving.
I think it's such a nice thing now, you know, we're now all looking at things a lot more positively. And we now go into Newcastle away. We know Newcastle away is a tough game. It always is. No matter who the manager is there, it's always a difficult ground. But I think we go into games with a lot more confidence now, because we can see a few little things are just starting to click into place.
Yeah, and that's our third successive win in the Premier League as well. Again, it's against the champions, and I know they've already won the league. I know, but it's, they had Salah, they had Alisson, they had Van Dijk all playing today, and it was a strong team, you know. And you've got to give credit where it's due to the team, to the players, to Enzo Maresca. That was our performance of the season, I think, really, and hopefully we can build on that. And it's a big confidence booster as well to beat a big team, which we haven't really done this season. You know, is good going into, you know, some big games we've got coming up, you know. And that's the and there's a little record actually which I just found. Chelsea are the first team to win 2 Premier League games against teams that have already been confirmed as title winners, having also beaten Manchester United in May 2013. Interesting little stat there. I've got a few stats as well that I can share with about some players that we've already talked about. I'm going to share this about Cole Palmer. 90 minutes played, 1 goal, 48 touches, 4 key passes, 4 out of 6 long balls completed, 1 big chance created, 2 shots on target, 5 out of 7 ground duels won, 1 clearance, 3 interceptions, and 2 tackles. Really good performance. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to share some others, but I'm not going to read them all out. But Enzo Fernandez and Caicedo as well, they all had good games today. They really stepped up. They were really up for it today, which is a really positive thing to see, isn't it?
Oh, it's just such a nice feeling. I'm so, so happy with the victory against Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember. We need to find out when the last time we beat Liverpool in the Premier League was.
I think it might have been, was it under Tuchel when there was COVID away from home? Did Mason not get a goal?
Yeah, you're right. That's it. Yeah, the Champions League season. Yeah, 2021. So
I think it was our first victory at Stamford Bridge against them since, I think, Conte's second season when Giroud got the winner, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Did we beat them? I thought the last time was the time when we won during lockdown.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was during lockdown. But I think the last victory at home was under Conte against them.
Gosh, 8 years we haven't beaten Liverpool at home. Well, well played, Enzo Maresca and the players. That is some achievement. Right, yeah. We're going to talk more about the game. We've also got some other things we can talk about as well. Louis is going to be with us. Make sure you give the Chelsea Echo account a follow on Twitter. Always worth a follow. Great content on there.
One thing I was going to say, going slightly off topic, I think when you sponsor, it looks really good on the shirt. I think it... Aesthetically,
yeah,
very pleasing.
Yeah, I do. Looks cool on the shirt. Yeah, I like it. I don't think they'll be our sponsor long term, but they're paying us £1 million a game, actually, apparently. So
and funny enough, I do actually know a bit about them, Matt, because I was in Dubai in December, just gone, and my best friend owns a Damac apartment. So long term, this could be a very, very good partnership.
I think it's strategic as well that. With like even building a new stadium or whatever, like they'll be part of that. They'll probably build, if we're building hotels around the new stadium, they will probably build Chelsea themed hotels. I think it's a very good deal long term. I'm really impressed with it. So, and they do look good on the shirts, and they've got 100% record as well so far. two wins with the men and one win with the women. Three out of three. So really, really good. Let's hope that continues. What I wanted to talk about though next is Reece James. Now, yeah, the last two wins we've had, Reece James hasn't started, right? And we've played really well and not needed him really, like as a starter in those two games. Caicedo's been really good in that inverted role at right back, and obviously we've got Josh Acheampong emerging as well, who is very, very good in that role. And obviously, Reece James, we all love Reece James, and he's had his injury issues and he's been having to play in midfield more because of those injury issues. Like, so what do you think Reece James' future role is at Chelsea? And this is for everyone. We'd love to hear from you if you're listening. We want to hear from fans. We want to celebrate this win with fans. It's a big win. So we want to hear from you. So come up and you can discuss this question and all the other things we talked about and anything else regarding Chelsea and today's game. Make sure you request and we'll get you up. But Ram, what are your thoughts on that question about Reece James and his role?
I do think part of the management, you know, part of the management of minutes for second half of the season just to keep him fit. And I think since he came back in either December or January, he's only missed one game through illness. So whatever's been, how Maresca's managing him seems to be working. But I do think possibly in the big games, maybe certainly for the rest of this season, I wouldn't be surprised if he sticks with Caicedo right back and Enzo and Lavia in midfield. I think that's probably the way he'll go. And to be fair, it's working.
Yes, it is. It is working. You know, we've won both the games, or we've won all the games. I can't say that.
We have, yeah. He used it against Everton and it worked again today.
It worked today, yeah. So, I mean, that's, well, of course, when you've got Santos and Isugo as well, you can definitely afford to do that, as well. It makes it easier. So, yeah, it's just an interesting question because, like, you know, we all love Reece James and he is the captain, I don't think he's quite been at his best when he's played this season, but he's been good. I think he's been good. He's been pretty solid and he's done well in the Conference League and he's done well coming off the bench as well in the Premier League. I don't think he's quite got to the levels that we know he can get to, but I think that's probably because he's still coming back from that injury. They're protecting him. So,
and
yeah.
Also, if I'm being completely honest, I mean, I would possibly argue that maybe Enzo's a slightly better captain than Reece James. Maybe he's slightly better suited to the role. I've been really impressed with Enzo as captain.
Yeah.
I think he stepped up to the role brilliantly.
I'm really impressed with him as a captain. He's a real leader. He showed up in the big games. He scored against Spurs, which was the winner. He scored today. He's been putting in performances. He's been vocal. Like I've seen him with younger players, talking to them. And you know he's a real, and he clearly loves Chelsea as well. He's clearly got a love for the club, and he's definitely been a real leader for us this season. And you know if he was the full time captain, I don't think anyone would ever have a problem with it because he's been a real leader for us, and you know been really important for us this season. It's his best season, 7 goals, 13 assists for Enzo Fernandez this season. It's his best season for Chelsea. It's been very productive for us, and yeah, I'm trying to bring Louis up. I invited him to speak once and it didn't work. So I don't know what's going on. Just waiting to see if that works. No, it's still not working. Having some technical problems getting Louis up. So Louis, if you're there, we're having a few problems. Maybe you need to leave and come back or something, but like we can't get him up at the moment. Or maybe his internet's not very good or whatever. Oh, he's up. Oh, Louis is up.
I'm here. How are we? We all right?
Yeah, we're all very
buzzing, mate. How you doing?
We're buzzing.
Mate, what a result that was. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was. Big result. Really, really big result.
Do you know what the other thing it showed today? It showed a side which can play football as well. You know, we were talking about throughout the season when the football wasn't quite there that, you know, we wanted to see a team a bit more on the front foot, still playing the style of football that Maresca wanted, but was able to really excite people, and we saw that today as well. Definitely, I think Lavia and Caicedo were a big part of that, which now raises the question for Reece James, which is a very worrying conversation, which I think we might have to have at some point. If Lavia stays fit, which is another big one.
Yeah, I mean, you're at the game. Like, how did Lavia play? What was it like? I mean,
superb. So I think Lavia, Caicedo, obviously, I mean, he's a given, but I think big shout outs to Lavia, to Fernandez and to Chalobah and Neto. I thought those four were spectacular. Really important to how they played. We played our football, held the ball really well, distributed the ball really well. In the words of Enzo Maresca, on the ball, off the ball, spectacular. Kept it simple, which I've always been calling for this season. And yeah, we can say Liverpool on the beach or whatever, but we beat the champions. We're in a position now where we do maybe, depending on how we play over the next couple of weeks, hold the cards for Champions League football. And I'm very, very excited to see how this team performs in the coming weeks because that was a massive performance, a potential landmark given Chelsea's inability to really win in those big games this season. When I say the big games, I'm not talking about this is a big game we're playing Everton. I'm talking about the Arsenals. You know, I'm talking about these sort of games where we're playing against sides which we want to be competing with in around the top six and we've struggled.
Yeah.
Today, different story. Spectacular performance by Chelsea.
That's great to hear. That's really great to hear. And I agree with you on all those players. I really do. Like Trev was fantastic. Panetto worked his socks off. Caicedo was great as always. Yeah. And Cole Palmer obviously had a really good game. Got man of the match. Looked more himself, especially towards the end. And that's the thing. I think it's a significant win because of just what it does for the players mentally. Like, because it means now they've kind of broken that duck against big teams, right? Psychologically, it's like, oh, we can beat these teams. We can compete with these teams. If we play well and we work hard, we can compete with these teams. And we need that right now because we're just about to play Newcastle. who are, you know,
which is huge.
Yeah, which is a huge game. I mean, if you play like that against Newcastle, we might get something, right? But I mean, that would be a very, very difficult game. Newcastle away is a very difficult game. It's probably one of the most difficult games of the season. But yeah, I mean, imagine we get a win there. You know, then we're on 66 points with 2 games to go, and that would be huge. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's probably the biggest win we've had under this ownership, really, with this team. It's the biggest result this team has.
I mean,
you know,
Let's knock out our chickens yet, I'd say, still, I think. But, I mean, let's see how we're playing towards the back end of the season. I think if we're playing, like we played today throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I think it could be a catalyst, but let's just sort of see how we go now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But to beat the champions at home, when they've got three of their big players starting, you know, it's a great result. I don't think we'll get carried away, though, considering we drew with Ipswich. I mean, it's typical, isn't it? Chelsea draw with Ipswich at home. And then
beat Liverpool.
It's just typical. You know, anyway. Yeah, you can, it's just, anyone who knows Chelsea knows this is typical Chelsea. You know, we get 1 point from, we've got 1 point from Ipswich this season, and we've got three from Liverpool. Unbelievable, really. Yeah, it's happy days. Happy days. Who was your man of the match today, Louis?
Oh, my man of the match was Lavia, hands down. I think he was spectacular today. Thank you. Just getting the phone charged, boys, while we talk. yeah, I thought he was spectacular today. I think, obviously, you know, Enzo Fernandez as well. That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, if I could share a man of the match, you have Fernandez, you'd have Lavia. I think definitely those two would share it. But obviously for me as well, look, Chalobah, I thought, was so solid at the back. And I think, you know, he did one of those performances where you won't quite get the credit because it was so under the radar, but spectacular in those guys today.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a little quote from Cole Palmer. Today I felt confident. I was trying things, first time passes, playing forward. When you've got Caicedo in front of you, it's a dream. From the start of the season, he's been our best player. There you go. Yeah, and I agree on that, actually, Caicedo.
Yeah, God, that's very spectacular.
Yeah, we haven't got any stats for Lavia yet, which I'm a bit annoyed about. I'm trying to find some of the stats for Lavia.
Well, guess what? They're on the Chelsea Echo account, mate. I posted them during the game.
They're on the Chelsea Echo account. My word.
See, I'm not just a pretty face.
No, absolutely.
The man with a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get those up. We'll share those in the space. Let's get that. Let's get those up. I'll read them out for you before I share them. 100% pass accuracy, 4 out of 7 ground duels won, 2 clearances, 2 tackles, 1 interception. I think he played about 70 minutes, didn't he? Yeah, really good. Just sharing that to the space now. It's more of that great content you can get on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. Yeah, make sure you follow that. And also another thing on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account today will be, and also on all podcast platforms everywhere, will be the voice note review with Louis. And that will be a good one today because we've beaten Liverpool. So it'll be a nice, enjoyable one today. Yeah, make sure you check that out. Give it a follow. Give that a follow on your podcast platforms and give it a listen. Yeah. Right. So, and just actually, Louis, we were just talking about Reece James and what his role would be. And I actually put this question before the match, actually, but like with, you know, with Caicedo doing what he's doing, you know, right wing back with Josh Chempong as well doing what he's doing, with, you know, Santos and Asugo coming in midfield to give us depth in that position next season. What do you think is Reece James's future at Chelsea? What's his role at Chelsea?
It's a tough one, I think, but towards the end of the game, we saw Reece. He was playing right back, but he also slotted in at centre half as well. We had a back three. I do wonder what his future looks like. I can't see him going anywhere purely based on the quality he brings to the team. I do think he's going to be an asset. And if someone wants to swoop in for him, that's going to be a hefty price. And realistically, there's only 1, 2, or 3 clubs in the world that can really afford that. I mean, look, one of them's looking like Trent is going to be their right back come next year. So I don't think he'll go there. Barcelona have no money, so I don't think they'd sign him either. And then outside of that, I mean, you're looking at maybe Bayern or something like that. But then again, I just don't know if that's an option for him. I think Reece is really important. I think he's somebody who's going to find his role and continue to improve. But like you're saying, you know, the players coming in, it is going to be very tough. I feel like Asugo is going to go out on loan. I think with those options in midfield, unless I say options, you know, Reece and Lavia have been unable to stay fit really over the past 2 years. So I'm sure that we might be seeing more of him, but I don't know. It's really going to be, for me, a case of let's just see. I don't want to comment because I feel like if I say something,
it's a difficult
question. It's going to hurt.
That's why I asked the question, because it's not an easy, conversation.
Yeah.
Because we all love Reece, right? And he's Cobham, he's Chelsea, he loves Chelsea, he's our captain. It's not an easy conversation.
Yeah.
And there are some people that wouldn't be unhappy if he left, you know. There are some fans who think that, but,
Fuck him. That's what I say about that, mate, in all due respect.
The thing is that the reason I ask it as well is that he's coming to that point in his contract where he has 2 years left, and if Chelsea can't extend his contract, they might sell him, because that's what they do when they get
the
contract. So
that's a very good point.
It's something to keep an eye on, because they're not going to give him another contract on the money that he's on because of his injury record. So, it's going to be, interesting to see how that develops. Something to keep an eye on.
Ramble. I don't think other clubs would pay him that sort of money because of the injuries. Cause I think now on the whole, clubs aren't spending money on wages like they used to. They're being a lot more careful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Reece would probably take a bit of a wage cut to stay at Chelsea as well. I mean, obviously, you still want to pay him a respectable amount, but not what he's currently on. He's on a lot of money at the moment. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. That might be something to talk about over the coming weeks. Moving on, the next thing I wanted to talk about is goalkeepers.
Listen, lads, before you do me, Bourne, I've got to go. So it's been a great job today. Fantastic stuff. And, yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting to the season. But listen, I'll be listening about the goalkeepers, but I've got to go.
Enjoy your night, Louis, and enjoy your bank holiday.
All right, I'll take it. See you later.
Take care, mate.
Take care.
And catch Louis on the voice note review that's coming out later today. Yes, but goalkeepers. Now, George Petrovic is having an incredible season at PSG then, at Strasbourg. He's been probably one of the best goalkeepers in Europe. Been absolutely superb. He's really improved and developed as a player as well. And of course, we already own him. So there's a lot of debate about whether he should come back and be our number one next season. But there's also been some conversations about potentially signing a goalkeeper for next season. And so I just wanted to have that conversation. Just for example, I'm not saying this is a link or this is going to happen. But say it was a choice between signing Mike Maignan, who is, you know, a top goalkeeper, a leader, a winner, experienced, proven, to come in and be our number one until Mike Penders is ready, or keeping Jordi Petrovic as our number one. What would you do? Rambles, I want to put this question to you, but I'd love to hear from the rest of you as well, your thoughts on this. But Rambles, what are your thoughts?
I've been really torn in the goalkeeper situation, but personally, I think Petrovic deserves to go into next season as number one. I just think he's been so good for Strasbourg, and they are on the verge of potentially getting into the Champions League. And he's been a huge part of that. I think he's been one of the best performing goalkeepers in Europe this season.
Yeah, he has. I mean, I would keep him. Personally, because I think he's deserved it. He's earned it. He's been playing a kind of football which is not dissimilar to the way we play. And I think he's absolutely earned that opportunity. He's got enough experience now. He's played a year in the Premier League, and he's played a year in the French League as well. So he's getting more experience. He's definitely developing. His passing and distribution have improved. It's difficult. I mean, if I heard we were signing Mike Maignan, I wouldn't complain. Because...
Yeah, it's one of those, like, catch-22 situations if you sign the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Maignan is a top goalkeeper. He's experienced, which is what we're all asking for. He's won Serie A. So he knows how to win. He's a leader. And also, he would, I think, open up the pathway for Mike Penders in 2 or 3 years' time. Mike Penders, I think, will be the long-term number one. And he's doing really well at the moment, by the way, everyone. He continues to impress. So,
Personally, if it was me, I'd possibly I would definitely bring Petrovic back, but I would maybe loan Mike Penders for the season to Strasbourg. I don't know if that's a possibility or whether they maybe
that's an interesting one, because if Chelsea and Strasbourg both get Champions League, that won't be able to happen. If we both get the same, if we're both in the same European competition, we won't be able to loan players to Strasbourg. Just because they'll have to divest the ownership and all of that kind of thing. So, that'll be a complicated one, but I'm sure they've got a plan for that already. And Strasbourg are doing a lot better than many people thought they would. They beat PSG yesterday. And again, I know PSG have already won the league, but I mean, look, in terms of like number of points per since Christmas, they're ahead of PSG in the 2025 table. They're ahead.
I think you have to give huge credit to Rossini, because I mean, he's done a superb job, and I think one or two Premier League clubs were looking at him. So, you know, they've done very well to tie him down to a new contract.
Yeah, I think my personal view is that he will be the next Chelsea manager whenever that happens. I know that Winstanley and Stewart rate him very, very highly. I like him a lot. I think, you know, say you want to stay for another couple of years at least. You know,
I mean, I was saying back to my friend the other day, we were talking about managers, and I think you're going to see clubs going down that road. Obviously, I think the Liverpool owners are looking to purchase Malaga. I don't know whether that's officially gone through, but I know they were trying to. And I think you'll see clubs like Chelsea, Man City, they will have their next managers at their other clubs, and it'll be like a production line. You know, as soon as this manager goes, we've got the manager at our other club who played the same style of football ready to come in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's definitely a thing. And like, but I mean, I like Rossini anyway. I think he's a really promising manager. I think you give him another year or two at Strasbourg, he'll definitely be ready for Chelsea.
And he was very harshly sacked by Hull. I know I spoke to a few Hull fans, and they were amazed he was sacked.
Yeah, he's a good manager. And if you've seen any of the behind the scenes stuff at Strasbourg, some of his team talks, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, he's very, very impressive.
Yeah, he is very impressive. But I mean, like, Strasbourg are fifth at the moment. They're level on points with fourth, and they're only 1 point behind second. But they could theoretically still finish second in the French league, which would be incredible if they managed to do that. Very, very good. So we'll see what happens, but. But certainly, I think Penders will go on loan next season somewhere he can play and be the number one in a European league. And then, you know, long-term could be our number one. I think we agree, really. Petrovic deserves the chance. And I think he'll be back for the Club World Cup. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much he plays in the Club World Cup and who the number one is there. Because we're going to have a lot of keepers available for that one.
I mean, I think also it might be a case of which keeper we can get rid of. Because, I mean, I don't know how easy it's going to be to get rid of some of the ones we've got on the books.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Robert Sanchez, he's been pretty good in the last few games. He's made some important saves and he's kept a few clean sheets as well. We are the fourth best defence in the Premier League at the moment. With three games to go. So he's a good shot stopper, Sanchez. No problem with that. It's all his distribution and his brain farts that can get annoying. Although I'm beginning to wonder whether he's better than Jorgensen, to be honest. That's another conversation maybe that needs to be had. What do you think about that, actually, Sanchez or Jorgensen? Which one would you have as your number two?
I think I'd maybe edge towards Sanchez, but I mean, one thing I will say about Jorgensen, you know, maybe he does this. It's maybe easier for the goalkeeper than one, because, you know, we see more of Sanchez, where Jorgensen just comes in every now and then. I think it's difficult for players when they come in every now and then, but just not up to kind of match speed.
Yeah, that's right. It's very difficult for keepers because they don't get any. Yeah, exactly. You don't sub on a goalkeeper in a game, right, to give him minutes. So that he can get that rustiness out. He's either in or out, you know, the goalkeeper. Yeah, absolutely. And they only get like cup games, or I think Jorgensen will probably be the keeper in the semi-final second leg. But I think Sanchez will be our number one in the Premier League and probably play in the Conference League final. as well. If you get there, which we probably will. Let's be real. We're already 4-1 up on the first leg. So, second leg shouldn't be difficult to navigate. That's on Thursday, by the way. Chelsea versus the Jew Garden. 8 o'clock at Stamford Bridge this week. So we should go through with that. Chelsea only have like maximum of 5 games now this season. That'll be that game. Then it's Newcastle away next Sunday. Then it's Manchester United the following Friday. And then a week after that, it's Nottingham Forest away. And then, of course, the final of the Conference League. So 5 games left. It's that stage of the season now. Squeaky bum time. But, I think Stamford would. I think the team that started today, apart from Lavia, probably will start the final. Lavia's not registered for the Conference League. I think Reece James will start the final of the Conference League instead of him. But other than that, it'll be the same team as today, I think, in that final, should we get there. Yeah, but Petrovic, I think a lot of fans would like Petrovic to get given a chance because he's been really, really good this season. I hope we don't sell him. And he certainly gets a chance in the Club World Cup. And if he does well in the Club World Cup, then hopefully we keep him. But at the same time, if they do sign Mike Maignan, I'm not going to be upset either. I'm not going to be upset if we sign him. But it has to be someone of that level if we sign someone. You know, we can't sign another mediocre keeper if we sign another keeper. So, yeah, absolutely. Very interesting conversation to have. And again, it's something that will probably go into the close season as well as to what happens with Chelsea's goalkeepers. Because we've got a lot of options but a lot of people want someone experienced. So we'll see what happens with that one. Also, just to let you know again about the voice note review, that'll be up later today. Louis will be doing that. And this will be available as a podcast tomorrow as well on all podcast platforms. So make sure you give all those things a sub and get all your latest stuff on Chelsea. Now, I want to get now to the... we're going to talk a lot about this in the coming weeks because the transfer window is coming up. But the transfer window, transfers, we're going to be signing players. I suspect we might sign players before the Club World Cup. So maybe by the 10th of June, which, you know, is not long now. It's 4 weeks away. So we've been linked with, I want to talk about the profile of players we've been linked with because we've often talked on this show about signing experience. The players we've been linked with most strongly, Dean Huijsen, who is 19, Jarrell Hato, I think is 18, I think, Liam Delap, who's 21, nearly 22, Rodgers from Aston Villa, who is 22, but I think has a lot of experience, to be fair, even though he's only 22, and of course, Gittins from Dortmund. These are kind of some of the main people we've been linked with. And of course, none of them are over 22. Now, Rounds, I know you're a big advocate for signing experience, as am I. I think we need some experience. Roy Keane said today we needed to sign some experience. Lots of pundits keep saying it. But what do you think of those targets? And like, do you have any suggestions for more experienced options that we could sign instead?
I mean, if I focus on one of those names mentioned, and that's Dean Huijsen, I know he's very young, but I think he's played at a higher level than any centre-back we've got on our books. Because this season alone, we've got 3 men of the matches, and there's a reason why we're interested, Liverpool are interested, Real Madrid are interested, Bayern Munich are interested, because he's playing at that higher level, and he's the kind of player you just cannot not try and sign because I think he is that good.
Absolutely agree on Huijsen. I think I hesitate to use this word, but I think he really is a generational centre-back. The data on him is off the charts, considering his age. He's great on the ball. He's a leader. He can be quite vocal. He suits how we play to an absolute T. He would absolutely thrive in a Maresca system. You know, if you look at how we played in the first half, he absolutely would thrive in that. You can play right centre-back, left centre-back. centre back, he could probably do the John Stones thing and move into midfield as well. He is incredible. I think we need to get him. I'm willing to put that experience rule on hold for him because he's that good. He gets into our first team straight away, immediately. If we can get that done, then looks like there's a good chance we can. I'm very happy with that. What about the other ones? You know, because obviously.
I would possibly make an exception as well for Gerald Hato, because I've seen a bit of him and I've seen, you know, what people have said about him. And I think he possibly falls into that category. Maybe not as quite as high potential as Dean Huijsen, but again, I think he's one of those players you just have to try and sign, because, you know, he's big, he's powerful, he can play left back, he can play left centre back. And I think Vega's probably going to go in the summer, so he's probably the perfect replacement for Vega.
He can play that role that Cucurella does, but he's got more pace, a lot more pace, and he's got the physicality. He's actually played 71 games for Ajax already, and he's played 6 games for the Netherlands. He's actually got a bit of experience. He's not like a raw, completely raw player. He's played a couple of seasons at Ajax, three seasons, and he's playing for the Netherlands national team as well. He made his debut for Ajax 2.5 years ago. He's a top young talent. I think again, he's also been vice captain of Ajax at 19.
Yeah, that says a lot about his personality and his temperament.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I think at the players we've been really linked to, one name which really excites me, it might not excite everybody, is Morgan Rodgers. Because I think he's just a really impressive player.
He's an elite player. I think this is another Cole Palmer type player, in terms of his ability. Like, he's got 14 goals this season for Villa, which is nearly the same as Cole Palmer. He's good mates with Cole Palmer. And of course, he was in that Manchester City team, B team, with Cole Palmer. He's another from the Man City Academy. And I think if we get Champions League football, we might go all out for Morgan Rodgers. Because if you put him in our team alongside Cole Palmer, the number of goals you're going to get and the quality you're going to have.
It's going to be exciting.
It's great to watch. Imagine 2 Cole Palmers, basically, in your team. Plus you've got Estevao Willian, and you've got Nonny, and you've got maybe
Neto.
Neto, you've got Jackson, potentially Delap or Sesko up front. That's a lot of goals, you know. And if you want to compete in 4 competitions, you need that level of depth, honestly. I'd never get angry about too much quality, because if you want to compete in 4 competitions, you need to have that depth, especially if you're in the Champions League, because you're playing basically 2 games a week with a first team. You can't play your second team in the Champions League. You can't play your B team. You know, you need to play your first team. So you've got to have 2 first teams.
Yeah. Morgan Rodgers is the type of player I would go big for him, because I just think he is that good of a player. You know, it's one of those, you just sign him, don't say anything, because he can play in a few different positions as well. I think it'd be a superb signing. Absolutely superb.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And if we get Champions League and Villa don't, I think that could happen. They love Yao Felix as well. I don't know why, but they seem to love him. Emery seems to love Felix. They've tried to sign him in the last 2 windows. So there's a deal to be done there as well. So we could sell Felix and get Morgan Rodgers, and that is a huge upgrade. If we can get that done, that would be incredible.
The experience debate is always quite interesting, because, you know, for some people, experience means age, but you could buy a younger player who's still got a huge amount of experience.
Yeah, I think that's what I've read, is that when they say experience, they're willing to sign players that have played 100, 200 games, first team games, but might still be young. Like Mark Guhi has played a lot of first team games. He's got a lot of experience, but he's only 24, right? So he's young in terms of age, but he's but he's got a lot of experience. And of course, he's captain of Crystal Palace. I think he's going to end up at Newcastle. But that's an example of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think Morgan Rodgers has got a fair bit of experience now. To check how many games he's played for Villa. But he's been superb for Villa. And he's played a lot of first team games. He's played 45 games for Villa, 26 for Middlesbrough, 20 for Blackpool on loan, and 25 for Lincoln City on loan.
So he's played quite a few.
He's played quite a few seasons, you know. And he's obviously played 4 games for England as well. Yeah, he's a top player. Top player.
I must admit, I'm really torn on Mark Gerhey now.
Yeah, I think if he brought Gerhey and Hewson to both of them, I think that would work, because you've got the elite centre back in Hewson who suits our style of play, and then you've got the kind of more proven player who's got leadership qualities in Mark Gerhey. But I think Mark Gerhey will want to start every game.
Mark Gerhey's probably a third on my list. Centre backs.
Yeah, my top two are Hewson and Branthwaite.
Yes, likewise.
I don't think anyone's going to get Branthwaite though, because they want $75 million for him. He's got 2 years on his contract, so I don't think he's going to move this summer. We could still sign him next summer.
I love about Branthwaite, I think he's got that physicality, which is a huge bonus. You know, he's a real physical presence.
Yes, he is. And again, he's somebody who's young, but has got a lot of experience. He's already played, he's played 71 games for Everton, you know, and he's also played 27 games for PSV as well. So he's played nearly 100 first team games already. And he's only 22. So, you know, that's a fair bit of experience, in terms of, he's not raw, you know, he's not untested. Yeah, and that's it. I mean, I would like us to sign some leaders as well. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I think Hewson has leadership potential. And I think Morgan Rodgers is, well, he's not maybe not a leader, but he's certainly a good character to have around, a strong character and a fighter. And I think he's got the cojones, as it were. Those two I would love to get. We can get those two. And I'm get the lap as well, you know. Again, another kind of strong character, fighter, warrior kind of player, but also technically good and suits Maresca's system. Like, yeah, that would be really, really good. Rambles.
I think a key thing I want to see going forward, which I think will take us up to another level, is like a settled centre-back pairing. So I think that's one thing we've lacked for a long time, as well as a goalkeeper behind it. So, I mean, if we have Petrovic and, let's say, a settled CB pairing in front of him and Caicedo, I think you start looking out, that's actually a really good spine to the team.
Yeah, it's starting to take shape, isn't it? You know, you can see it. Like, Lavia, Caicedo, Enzo, Palmer, I think if we signed Hewson, he would be number one centre-back choice. Levi would probably play with him. Depends who else we sign, obviously. But, I mean, that's it. The top sides, they have a spine.
Because you think of Liverpool and Arsenal, I think the two best teams in the league, you know, most consistent. You think Liverpool, Alisson, Van Dijk, Kanate, Arsenal, Raya, Saliba, Gabriel. Whereas with Chelsea, you say Sanchez, Colwill, and you never know from one game to the next who's going to be partnering Colwill.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. We haven't had that kind of proven, established spine yet. I think, say you get Hewson, I think, and then you bring in obviously Santos and Asudo as well, then you're starting to get a spine. Like, because Caicedo is going to play every game when he's fit. Hewson would. Palmer does. If we sign a striker, I think they go and start most games. If Petrovic comes back, he starts most games. And there you go. You've got a spine already, right? And then you've probably got Enzo Fernandez, who will probably play most games. And probably another centre-back who would play most games. Probably Levi Colwill. And, you know, then suddenly, you know, Cucurella plays most games already. So then suddenly you've got a core of a team who are going to play most games. The only challenge is that when you've got Champions League, you can't play your first 11 in every, you've got to somehow have two first 11s. And that's, I think, what they're going to try and do. That's why Hato might be coming. It's why Houston's going to come. Why they might sign another centre back as well. And why we're going to have five midfielders, because you've got to have all of that for the competitions. Anyway, we've got John up. John's always got good wisdom and insights from the game. Good to have you back, John. What are your thoughts on the game today?
Oh, I'm absolutely delighted. Best performance of the season, I think. I can't think of another one that rivals that. The right result in the end. Nervy when they came back to 2-1. Palmer, I've got a good view. I'm an East Stand season ticket. I've got a really good view of the pitch. Palmer was brilliant in the second half, I thought. Lavia throughout the whole game, or the amount of games he stayed on for. And the good thing about Liverpool, should Chelsea fans say these things? Well, of course they should. At least against Liverpool, you can have a game of football. And that's why I think Palmer flourished today. There weren't blokes on him every 2 feet and all the rest of it. Shalabar, I thought, at the back was tremendous, wholehearted. So how many Chelsea fans going over there today would have accepted a point before the game? 3 points, absolutely brilliant. Newcastle next week, bring it on after, I hope, we qualify for the European final in Wrocław in Poland. So well done to everyone today. Great atmosphere. And, yeah, I'm absolutely over the moon. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Who was your man of the match?
Say again?
Who was your man of the match?
I like Shalabar. I'll give it to Shalabar, but I think Lavia, probably. Cole Palmer, I think. His level of skill today was such a shame that ball didn't go in that hit the inside of the post. That was absolutely stunning.
No, I can't believe it. You know, like, it's
absolutely stunning. I thought he had a fantastic second half today. So let's hope that's a sign of things to come in our last five games of the season.
He got the sign out of the match. Gary Neville was waxing lyrical about him.
Who?
Cole Palmer.
He was stupendous in the second half. His vision, it was tremendous. It was a pleasure to watch a really, really good player today, and he was a really, really good player today.
In the second half. He looked the Cole Palmer that we all know and love in the second half.
Took the penalty well, deserved a goal, got his goal, and fair play to the side, because coming back to 2-1, everyone might get a bit nervy, and then the penalty. So, yeah, fortunate second goal, but we deserve that on the run of play, I think.
Yeah, I think.
We've been quick enough to criticise Maresca. We are getting the ball forward more. We are getting the ball forward better, more effectively, quicker. So, you know, let's give the coaches a thumbs up for that as well, maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah, Maresca deserves his flowers today.
And the other one I thought set the tone early on in sense was Sanchez. He caught two really smart balls early on.
He did.
And I think that set a tone.
It did, yeah. That kind of thing is important, actually. You don't realize how important that is. Oh, yeah.
I must admit, he's had a strong end to the season, Sanchez. I mean, hopefully he can carry that on. But I think in recent games, we haven't really been, it's mainly been positives about Sanchez.
Yeah, he hasn't made any stupid mistakes.
Against Everton, he made one really, really good save, top class save, and then another very, very good save. So,
yeah, I mean, fair play to him. We've criticised him enough. And happy to give him credit where it's due, and he deserves it today. Absolutely right. It's nice, isn't it? It's nice when you get a big win like this. You haven't had one for such a long time. And actually, Ramble said the last time we beat Liverpool at home in the Premier League was actually Conte was the manager.
Oh, wow.
that's like at least 8 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. Also, a little footnote as well. Today, Chelsea have got to 63 points. What was the number of points we got last season under Mitch Pochettino? We've got that. We've got and less goals conceded and more clean sheets. That's positive. We're on to get more points than last season now. So, yeah, thank you, John.
Always a pleasure. Okay. I'll keep listening.
Yeah, well, I'll meet you now. I'm going to bring BTNT up. I haven't had him on for a while. Good to get him back. So, BTNT, welcome back. And what are your thoughts on the game?
Hi, guys. I hope everything's well with you guys.
Yes, all good. Very happy.
I mean, same here. Delighted with the result. Various great performances. You know, I mean, you guys have spoken a lot about Cole Palmer. Looked excellent. Lavia, brilliant. Calibre, very nice at the back. And also, as you guys also mentioned, Sanchez looked good, has looked pretty good recently. I mean, it's always a bit of a worry that he'll fall back into mistakes and bad passes out the back or something. But yeah, he's been doing nicely. And I didn't follow all the conversation. He had to do some washing up. I don't know if sort of it was talked about, but I also liked Madueke on the left. A couple of the passes didn't quite work when he laid it off here and there, but he was very direct, quite a threat, going at players, going past, drifting. It's like, I do like him very much on the left wing. And I think that sort of, yeah, that possibly, I prefer him there to the right, I believe. In the right, he just becomes a bit too predictable and wanting to cut in on his left foot. But on the left, yeah, I like him there. I do like him a lot there. And so that will be an interesting one to see come summertime and everything, what transfers are made and whatnot. Jackson. Oh, yeah, sorry, you were going to say?
I was going to say, yeah, you mentioned transfers. Who would you want us to sign this summer? Like certainly in terms of like, up front, that's the position everyone seems to be talking about. Who would you want us to sign and why?
Left wing, you said.
I mean, it can be left wing, but yeah, in attack. You know, either left wing or up front, who would you want us to sign?
I mean, up front is for me a bit more of a focus than left wing. Possibly, I'm not quite sure. I sort of found myself constantly doubting myself on these ones. I think striker is more important for us. I think Sancho, as this tail end of the season, has been doing pretty nicely again. Yes. Sort of his form has improved. As I mentioned, also Madueke on the left, that's working nicely, in my opinion. Tyreek George, he's sort of, I think, also can play a bit on the left as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that they're necessarily that what we want, but I just look at the striker position right now, and strikers that we've got are Jackson and Guillou. Now, Guillou's a very young lad. I don't want to sort of, you know, he's injured right now, or coming back from injury. Very young lad. I don't think there should be any sort of pressure on him right now. He is very raw. He needs a loan. He needs sort of a continuous spell in playing regularly. And then we've just got Jackson. So for me, striker's more important. I would be curious if Jackson would be fine with being bench. Essentially. He seems to me like the kind of guy, not unprofessional, but he wants to play. And I'm not quite sure he'd be happy to be on the bench.
That's an interesting conversation to have because, you know, he's got 3 goals in 2 games before today. Today he was, I thought he was very poor today. He was caught offside too many times when he didn't need to be offside. And even Cole Palmer got frustrated with him for being offside so often.
That's one of the annoyances that I do have with Jack. I mean, I do like a lot about him. I do like the runs in behind he does. The dropping back, the support and build-up. He can hold up the ball pretty nicely. And there's a lot to like about Jackson. But one of the things that does annoy me, you mentioned it here, and it's been done a few times recently, not just recently, but he can sort of drift offside or not get into an onside, back into an onside position quick enough. And it's something that does at times. That goal that got disallowed, you look and go, you know you're offside. You can see this. You're in the line. You just need to get back there.
He could have made that goal by being onside.
And he's quick enough. He's quick enough that he doesn't have to be that much on the edge. I mean, that's sort of one of the things that if you have pace, then you don't need to be at the very edge because you can beat players in a sprint. You know, you're not Olivier Giroud trying to run him behind.
What are your thoughts on Jackson? Today especially, like that stuff about being offside a lot.
Yeah, he didn't have a very good game today, got to be honest. You know, a lot of people said, you know, his performance reminded them of Timo Werner, constantly offside.
Yeah, I actually posted a tweet with GIFs of him, Morata and Timo Werner. Because he was offside so often, yeah. I mean, I like Jackson, but yeah, there's still a lot of things in his game that he needs to work out. And sometimes he's too much in his head. He's just not aware, you know, not sharp enough. Like, I want to keep him, but I don't think we should keep him as the number one striker.
There's so much to his game that I actually like, and there's several aspects of his game I don't like. And I do think some of that comes down to he's coming and he's been the main guy right from the start. Whereas I think... I think he'll benefit when another striker comes in. You know, he will have to raise his game. And maybe over the summer break, he can go away and look at a few things. Hang on. Right.
I agree. I think competition will be good for him. It'll push him to raise his game a bit. You know, and we'll need him. We'll need him. I mean, if we're going to be in the Champions League, definitely we'll need him. We need competition and, you know, I agree with you on that. And he will improve. He will keep improving. I'm sure he will. But we definitely need that competition in there. So, thank you, BTNT. We've now got Dano, a regular caller now. Welcome back, Dano. And what are your thoughts on the game?
Hey, I'm in the car right now. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Yeah. Honestly, probably one of the most this season, enjoyable Chelsea games I've watched in a while. It's always nice getting a win against a top six team. I know this was a game that Liverpool, probably their head wasn't really in it, to be honest. They just won the league, so really there's not much to play for. But, you know, I don't want that to take away from our performance, to be honest. Like, let's really keep it real here. They still had Virgil on the pitch. They still had Trent, even though Trent is, his head is already dreaming in Madrid right now. Salah, they had Gakpo. They still had their main players there, to be honest. So I really don't want that to take away from our performance. I think what today showed is that, you know, possession-based football is not always the answer, to be honest, right? The evolution of this kind of possession-based football, that's what's going to get you across the line. Like, I think you just really need to know your personnel, right? Like, we played so free today, and there's a lot of players that help us to play like that, right? Romeo Lavia, again, amazing performance. Somebody who's probably rarely going to show up on the score sheet or the, you know, GA, whatever it is. But again, you just see what he brings to our team, right? The level of forwardness he brings to the midfield, right? He's always that second pass before the final pass, right? And people always forget that pass before the final pass, you know? Amazing game. Again, Moises Caicedo. I there's not much I have to say about this guy. Honestly, lads, like, he is every penny worth spent. I know a lot of people will say Cucurella for player of the season, which I wouldn't be mad at, but Moises Caicedo, to me, he's probably my player of the season for Chelsea. Cole Palmer, again, this is a Cole Palmer I think we haven't seen in the last couple of games. You even saw it in his interview. He felt more free today, right? Again, he showed up on the score sheet at the end. But to be honest, lads, even if he didn't, I still think Cole Palmer had probably one of his best games of 2025. You know, he had a really, like, his vision was there. He was taking on people. And the thing I liked about most is the effort level, too. He was running around like a rabid dog, pressing. And that's really, that's the minimum of what I want to see from these players. And I think you really saw the fight in every single player. I don't think there's one player, except, of course, from Nicholas Jackson, who I think had a poor game. And, you know, again, it was just annoying the amount of offsides Jackson had. But, yeah, everybody contributed today, every single player. Another shout-out I want to give that I think people don't really give much love to is Trev Chalobah, guys. To be honest, I will say a lot. He is probably, in my opinion, one of our best center backs. And that's not saying much, but he is probably one of our best center backs at the moment, and he is so reliable. So, yeah, just an overall good-feeling game. Again, the job is not done yet. The job is not done. We still have to take it on to Newcastle. But, again, I think we see that, like, this Newcastle team, they are also feeble, right? I know they scored a little late one against Brighton today, but if we could beat this Liverpool team, you know, we can do a lot of things, guys. So, yeah, overall happy feeling.
Absolutely agree with that. Yeah, happy feeling. Yeah, and shout out to Trevor Chalobah. He was incredible today. His positioning, his passing, like his clearances he made, defending overall, he was superb. He really was. He really led that back line today, and he deserves a lot of credit. He tends to show up in the big games as well, Trev. So well done to him today. Unsung hero, I think. You know. He was brilliant. You're right. And yeah, Lavia. I think we've been talking about Lavia all day, how good he is. And he's going to get better. He's only 21. The more he plays and the older he gets, more experience he gets, he's just going to get better and better and better. And hopefully he can start to keep his fitness. And if he does, Chelsea, he's been fit all season. Chelsea will probably be comfortably in third now, I reckon.
Oh, easily.
100%. So, thanks, Dano. Always good to have you up here. It's been a good day for Chelsea Football Club. So, we're going to close out there. Just a word, catch the voice note review on your favourite podcast platforms later today. And also, this will be available as a podcast tomorrow on your favourite podcast platforms if you want to listen to it again. Absolutely, so check all that out. Make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo on Twitter. Great content as always. And give Ramwood and myself a follow. We do follow back. It's been a good day for Chelsea Football Club. Final thoughts on today, Rambles?
Yeah, it's been a really, really enjoyable day. And, you know, there seems to be, you know, there's a lot more optimism from the fan base. We can see a lot more positives moving forward. And I think now we can sit back, have a beer and enjoy the Forest and Palace game tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, hopefully Palace will get a win. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That'd be the perfect weekend. That really would be good. Yes. Thanks.
And I think we've got a couple of tough away games coming up. Obviously, we've got Newcastle next Sunday. Then obviously the final game away against Nottingham Forest, and I think we just go into those games in a completely different headspace now. We can look forward to the Newcastle game with a lot more confidence, because if we play like we did today, we can cause any team trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, getting a point next week to me would be a really good result, because it means that we get another point, and it means that they stay the same distance, as we are. So they don't get any further ahead of us. Right, and if Nottingham Forest can drop more points as well, and we get a draw next week, that really sets us up really well. So yeah, let's hope for that result next week, and we'll be here after that game, and after the game on Thursday as well in the Conference League semi-final. So make sure you give us a listen then. But thanks everyone who came up and shared. Really grateful for that. Thanks to Louis and everyone else, and up the Chelsea.